You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Former financial advisor Ron Hall has had a very busy year. He first appeared on our TV screens in 2023 Love Island, fell in love with fellow contestant Lana, made it all the way to the final, and has now started his own YouTube channel. He's here today to tell us about how life has changed after the show and talk about his plans for the future. Hi, Ron. So after Love Island, what are some of the changes you're enjoying?
I think probably the biggest change is people now know me. You know, I'm not going to be naive to say that I didn't sort of expect when you're in the villa, how long you were in there for is, I guess, how popular you are outside. But you don't really think about that when you're in there. So, you know, I get stopped everywhere I go. And it's a really quite nice thing. I've interacted with some incredible people who have gone through, I guess, similar or know someone who's gone through similar stuff with not even just vision, but just any disability or like an insecurity. And they say to me, oh, how do you do it? Or how are you so confident with it? There's loads of pros to this because I guess I've got a platform that's enabled me to talk to people about it. So it's nice to be able to give people that message.
Have you been surprised by kind of the range of people that have said they've been watching?
I'm actually so surprised with the age range because Love Island, the biggest audience, I think it's 16 to 24. I'm so surprised with how many older people watch it as well. You know, I had someone, for example, on the first week, I think I was in a restaurant with Lana and a 92-year-old recognized us. But it's quite nice because they normally have someone, their daughter loves it or their son loves it or their husband or, you know, it's quite interesting to see the demographic of viewers.
And what's something you're finding challenging after leaving the show?
It's weird because they're sort of blessings but challenges. So, for example, sometimes, you know, when you've got a lot of people coming up to you for pictures, whenever you go somewhere, you sort of have to add on 15, 20 minutes to every trip that you want to make. At the end of the day, it takes 5 seconds or 10 seconds to take a photo. I'm never going to say no to someone. I'm blessed to be in this position. And if it makes someone smile to take a picture, I'm always going to do that. So I think the challenge is if I'm on like a night out, sometimes when people have had a drink, they're just a little bit more forceful when it comes down to asking for a picture. It is what it is. But I guess that's part of the challenge. But I think in terms of privacy, there's a bit of a pressure between how much of your private life and how much of your relationship are you going to put online and what bits are you going to keep, you know, offline. Luckily, I think me and Lana have found a really nice balance. Anything that we're doing that's of interest and that we would take photos of pre-Love Island, a lovely setting or a lovely food or just pictures of us as a couple, we'd naturally put that on Instagram or on TikTok anyways. I think now there's just a little bit more pressure to kind of feel like you have to film your whole life. So it's just finding a balance between if we do go out on a date, sitting down, taking a picture, put it on, and then just enjoying the time with us.
You're now starting a YouTube and you're very keen to make content that your fans love. And so you might make some videos about golf and lots of your other interests. How are you going to try and make sure these things stay things that you enjoy, but also help your fans enjoy?
I've done a couple of Q&As with people on my socials. If I give them like four interests of mine, if I say, you know, golf, content with me and Lana, talking about finances for younger generation or just people in general, and then talking about disability and mental health and people losing relatives. Now it's kind of a case of, well, do I pick two or do I do all four and then find out what's actually, you know, resonating with people and then, you know, going down those routes. And at the moment, a lot of people want to talk about finances because of today's climate. A lot of people message me about disability, mental health, because it's a massive, massive subject at the minute. So I think there's a couple of like key areas that I'll push towards. If they want to see something else, then, you know, I can't ignore that. You know, as long as I enjoy it as well, then I'm happy to do it.
Like you say, you've got a lot of responses from blind and partially sighted people about how you live being blind in one eye and your confidence. How has it made you feel to get those responses? Was it something you expected or has it come as a surprise?
You know, I didn't expect it at all because I just thought I'm going on this TV program for an experience and to find someone for me. I didn't think that I'd come out and almost be, you know, a bit of a personality or a role model to people who have got similar disabilities. and to use that in a positive way. And there was press that asked me about it, being like, how do you feel about being a role model for it? And I was just sort of sat there thinking, am I a role model? Like, that's what a strange thing to sort of call myself. A woman come up to me and she said, oh, my son, he's 35. He's just had a prosthetic eye put into one of his eyes. So he's blind in one eye and he doesn't feel confident sort of going out the house and things like this. And I remember saying to her that I was also offered a prosthetic eye before. And they have a joke in the doctoring world of whether they could tell the difference between the two eyes, and they just couldn't. So I knew that a prosthetic eye would be, you know, a fantastic thing for a lot of people because they look exactly the same. And that's a worry that a lot of people have. One of my biggest worries for about 8 to 10 years was it looking different. And I had to come to terms with actually try and use that to my advantage. So I guess having a different colored pupil, all right, it's not perfectly circular and it's a little bit cloudy, but you know, I've got one green eye and one blue eye. If I can use that as part of my personality, and hopefully everyone else can see it that way as well, always look on the positive side of things rather than thinking, oh no, you know, it does look different, how's that going to make me feel? Just try and flip it. It takes time. It doesn't happen overnight because you have to sort of get comfortable with your own, you know, insecurity. And then you have to say, do you know what, how can I actually use this to my advantage? And obviously, being on Love Island, they used to ask questions about how was that with, you know, dating. So for me, it was a case of a lot of girls found it interesting that I had two different colored eyes, rather than me being a little bit insecure about it and trying to hide it, because, you know, people love confidence and not everyone has it. But I think if you can slowly become more comfortable with what you've got, then you're a lot better off for it.
And you also mentioned wanting to share some of the positive truths and also some of the difficult truths about life with disability. What are some of the things you'd really like people to be aware of?
I think, although it sounds more negative, talking about the negatives is quite important, because it would be nice for people to understand what a lot of people go through, the pain, trauma, the difficulties that we have in our lives. The worst one for me by absolute country mile was, probably for about 10 years, my eye was ultra sensitive to UV, you know, sunlight. So every time I left the house, it would water all the time. I'd constantly wear sunglasses. It would close. It would go quite bloodshot because obviously the constant trying to wipe away water because it was so painful. And I had that. It was almost like poking yourself in the eye a million times a day. And you have to live with that. And I feel like a lot of people go through, I guess, pain and inconveniences throughout however long, whether it's through life. For me, I think it was when I hit probably 19, 20, all of a sudden it just stopped and it just got used to sunlight. It's still sensitive, but I feel like I want to talk a bit about what people have to go through, what people deal with, and I guess how we deal with it. And, you know, sometimes we have to have a little bit more patience, and hopefully other people have a bit more patience with us as well. And then obviously for people who have got it, who deal with it, actually talking to them about getting through it, how you kept yourself positive, things that I guess I used to do when I was in pain, anything that sort of brought me out on the other side, I think is quite a nice thing to talk about.
And on that note, why do you want to work more closely with RNIB?
It's because of work that RNIB do. Even just recently, something that came out purely as a joke, because Lana managed to put me on Instagram wearing a gaming headset. But people game, but people take it for privilege that every game's the same and every image is the same. When RNIB did a Twitch event for streamers of what it's like to play certain games that have the ability to help people with, you know, sight disabilities, little things like that mean a lot, because things like that that RNIB do for Twitch gaming, streaming, just awareness, and also for making things accessible, it's just unbelievable. So if I can help push that platform, bring more awareness and help other people who deal with it on a day-to-day basis, it's a privilege more than anything.
And what exciting plans do you have coming up?
Do you know what? You just sort of follow a path that you get led down just because opportunities come your way. But I'm, you know, breaking into my own lane. People have really loved the fashion stuff that I've done, so I'll 100% keep going down the fashion way. I think YouTube, golf, potentially podcast on mental health, disability, losing relatives. I think it's a really important thing that people want to listen, because I think everyone in some shape or form has experienced something. And I feel like if I can talk to people about it and hear people's stories, I think it's a great conversation. I think it's really interesting. Even just after seeing RNIB doing the Twitch streaming, I might have to start streaming gaming. So who knows? I guess right now it's kind of going with the flow, and what I'm doing is working and I'm enjoying every second.
And where can people follow you and watch your videos and maybe eventually watch your streams?
All of my socials are RonHall_. My YouTube is RonHallOfficial. My TikTok is RonHall_. And then if I do start Twitch streaming, which I'm sure I'll end up doing, I'll make it the same. So it's RonHall_ or RonHall_. It'll be one of the two.
Well, thank you so much, Ron Hall, for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio to talk about life after Love Island.
Cheers. Take care.